What's going on, everyone? This is the CLNS Media Network's New England Patriots postgame show. Alongside Marvin Azan, I am Mike Molyneux. Final score at Gillette Stadium, 24-10. The New England Patriots defeat the Minnesota Vikings. And this was a game, Marv, that coming out of the bye week, I think most people thought this was probably the Patriots' toughest matchup that they have to deal with for the rest of the season. I mean, after this, you face a couple of divisional opponents that the Patriots usually run through. But everyone thought this was the major test here, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And they got the win 24-10. And now they can proceed on with the rest of their season.
Yeah, Mike, this and the Steelers game coming up, these are going to be your really, real big challenges, like you said, compared to the divisional game. And Patriots came out with a big win, 24-10. This was a great game overall by their defense. You know, even though they only put up 24 points, they really set the tone throughout this whole game, especially coming out in the first possession, you know, causing a three and out from the Vikings and then marching down the field for 80 yards to score. That was huge for the Patriots right there. And they held it down throughout the whole game. You know, only going into the half with 10 points was a little disappointing because it felt like you were beating them by maybe 14 points, yeah. 14, 21 points. So you only went into halftime with a three-point lead, which would, you know, give Minnesota some momentum going forward. But that didn't seem to be the case. All in all, Patriots in the second half really start to pick things up. They got a lot of guys involved. A guy like Josh Gordon in the second half, he really came alive. He had a game of 3 receptions and 58 yards and a touchdown. A guy like James White, you know, he came back up here with the reception games after going a game with only 1 reception, 7 receptions for 92 yards. You know, so you had guys to really get involved. Burkett came back. It was good to see him in there. Now he's your insurance guy. He didn't get a lot of playing time like we're used to him being like the number one back. Now, you know, he's taking a back seat up from Michelle and White. He comes back in with 2 receptions as well with 7 carries. So well-balanced game. I love the offensive game plan and the defensive game plan from the Patriots.
Yeah, and obviously, once again, the Patriots are led by Tom Brady, who in this game accomplished 2 major things. First and foremost, he tied Brett Favre with the most, I think his 3rd all-time career passing yards, right, or 4th all-time. Sorry, I think Breeze is above him. 3rd or 4th, but with 508 touchdown passes. I feel like it's an accomplishment that he should have done a couple weeks ago, but
there was offensive struggle.
He was struggling, but he was finally able to match Brett Favre with that number. And then he also went over 1,000 yards rushing, finally in his 18-year career.
It's about damn
time. It took him a while. It took him a long time, but you know, he hit his infamous, what you want to call it, a dab or something after he got that first down. Whatever that is.
It's the backwards dab.
Backwards dab. Backwards trying dab. To be Usain Bolt. I don't know what he's doing, but Brady, shout out to Brady doing that. But speaking on Brady, you know, average game from him once again, 24-32, 311 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. You can't say too many bad things about Brady. I mean, his team continues to win, now sitting with a 9-3 record. Obviously continuing to defend your home field. His stats are not jumping off of the stat sheet. You know, he's not putting up MVP-type numbers. But at the end of the day, he's doing what he needs to do to put his team in a position to win. And that's what they have continued to do, Mark.
Definitely. You know, the comments right now are booming, Mike. So let's show some love to some of the guys that's out there right now. You got Derek saying Miami and the Steelers, they're going to be a real test. Miami, we all know. Going down there in Miami, the
always
heat
tough.
In this weather, it always becomes a challenge, no matter what type of team they have. And yeah, Steelers coming up week 15, it always seems like that game in the end of the year is about position, where you're going to be placed in the standings. So it always comes down to a couple of plays at the end of the game. Patriots, you know, they've been struggling on the road. So those 2 road games, I agree with you, Derek. We also got offense didn't start really clicking until they started going to Gordon. Yeah, once they unleashed Gordon in the second half, that's when you saw things really start moving. The play action start to work even better. Sony Michel, James White, they started running. Everything started clicking more in the offense once Gordon got involved. And it shows his importance to this team.
Absolutely.
Gordon's important. He really started getting, he breaks tackles. Once he gets the ball, every great things always seem to happen. What else here? We have another Josh Gordon comment. Brady's for the wins, not the stats. Yeah, I mean, Mike, he's come out. He's even come out recently. He says he's trying to play smarter. Yeah. You know, he's not trying to throw balls when there's no room. He knows not to get negative yards, not to turn the ball over, even though he did have a turnover in this game. We'll talk about that down the line. But Brady's just all about playing smarter now. He's got all the stats.
Oh, yeah.
He's did it all. Yeah. You know, there's nothing that he has not accomplished. He finally got 1,000 yards rushing. So he's done it all. Now it's all about playing smart and getting to the team where they need to be.
Yeah. And, you know, another guy who I want to touch upon a little bit as we continue to talk about the offense, and a name that I saw come up in the comments was Rob Gronkowski. You know, last game, you know, he had a decent game. He got his touchdown reception that has been eluding him for a while now. He finally got a touchdown last game. And then in today he comes out. Brady targets him about 4 times, 3 receptions, 26 yards. Another game where Rob Gronkowski doesn't jump off the stat sheet in terms of what he's putting up and what he's producing, but still a vital part to this game. And I guess the conversation continues to proceed as of, will we ever see that Rob Gronkowski that comes out and maybe has 8 receptions for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns? Will we ever see that Gronk again? This is another game where he's out there. You know, all the reports are that he's healthy, he's playing, he has his pads on, he's on the field. But this game right here is a typical game of, you know, many other tight ends in the league. It's not stats from elite guys that you used to seeing from Gronk or Travis Kelce or Greg Olsen or something like that. So is this the Rob Gronkowski that we're going to have moving forward?
I mean, I said this last week. I pretty much broke this down last week when Rob had, what, three receptions for 56 yards, but the only difference was he had a touchdown, Mike.
Yep.
So when he had a touchdown, all of a sudden you see all the tabloids everywhere. Gronk is back. Gronk is great. Gronk is healthy. This is what you're getting. You're going to get 4 to 5 targets. Brady's going to target him 4 to 5 times. He's going to get 3 to 4 receptions. And the yardage and touchdowns is up in the air. You just don't know what you're going to get, you know, production-wise. If he had a touchdown here, wouldn't the story be second game in a row? Gronk has a touchdown. Is this trending to the right direction? Gronk has been consistent for what he is this year. He's a guy that's getting you 3 to 5 receptions. Brady still looks at him in important down when needed. He's helping with the blocking. I would say Gronk didn't have a great game this week. A lot of holding calls, you know, but the way he's so versatile, he's so big, he's still a vital part of this offense. And that's what we're just going to have to deal with this year. He's not going to be the guy that gets eight receptions and 100-plus yards anymore. But this right here from Gronk, the 3 to 5 receptions, maybe a touchdown here and there, that's what you're going to get. And that's what you need going forward.
I mean, yes. And obviously some of it could be Gronk. And if how healthy is he on the playing field, that's always in question.
Right.
And also another big part of it is the fact that Tom Brady has said that he wants to spread the ball around, and he did today. James White obviously led the way with 9 targets. Julian Edelman was right behind him with 8, but Josh Gordon had 3. Cordell Patterson, 2 targets. Gronk with 4. Burkhead with 2. Chris Hogan with 2. And James Devlin and Sony Michel each got a target themselves. So Brady is definitely trying to spread the ball around as much as possible. Obviously, he has his favorite guys in James White and Julian Edelman, and Josh Gordon is up there as well. But he's getting everybody involved. I mean, I think maybe
another
not this
week. Yep.
Even last week, I think Dorsett even got a couple catches as well. So, you know, there are times where Brady's locked in on his guy sometimes, and maybe sometimes it's necessary. If you have one guy that has a hot hand that's catching everything, that's picking up those yardage and moving the chains, I guess there's no problem to feed him. Similar to basketball. If a guy has a hot hand and hitting all the shots, you get him the ball every possession as long as he's staying hot. But then there's also games where you need to keep the defense guessing in terms of who you're getting the ball to, and that's what Brady's been able to do recently.
All right, so, you know, we can still keep talking about this offense and how great it has been, but we can't ignore Minnesota Vikings only scored 10 points, Mike.
Yeah, very surprising.
This is a team led by a gunslinger in Kirk Cousins. You have Dalvin Cook, a really good running back with Latavius Murray. You have Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Last week, where I told you, Mike, that's the best duo receiving group
possibly,
next to Antonio Brown and Juju Smith.
Yeah.
Like, They're dynamic. You know, we know Stephon Diggs was a little hurt coming into this game, but he had the best game out of all of them, 5 receptions for 50 yards. But what the Patriots did so well, because these guys got their target, Thielen, 10 targets in this game, but they tackled. They tackled tremendously well this game. That's been a problem with this Patriots team. They'll let up a catch, and then the guys will get the yards after the catch. Not this game. They were really on these receivers no matter what, and that was awesome to see. Because then when teams were put into third downs and fourth downs, the Vikings didn't know what to do with their play calling. They couldn't throw deep because the corners were playing so well. And the undercuts, the receivers weren't able to beat their one-on-one matchups. So I love what I saw from this Patriots defense. The front line constantly having pressure on Kirk Cousins. And there's some guys in the secondary that we can really start talking about. I see already in the comments that, you know, some guys were put up as stars. So, Mike, what did you see with this defense this week?
Obviously, you just touched upon in terms of the very solid tackling that the Patriots defenders were doing. I mean, if you just look in comparison to the yards after reception, James White, 13.1, Josh Gordon, 19.3, Cordell Patterson, 26.5 yards per reception.
Right.
Stephon Diggs, 9.8. Adam Thielen, 5.6. You know, these guys weren't able to get anywhere. After, if they were able to catch the ball, they weren't getting anywhere because the defenders, the secondary, were doing a great job in making sure that they weren't picking up those extra yards to move the chains or anything like that. So I'm very, very pleasantly surprised at how well the secondary played. A guy that you'll definitely hear about later on in the show for sure, Jason McCourty. His job today seemed like was to lock down Adam Thielen. And Adam Thielen is arguably this season probably the top wide receiver in the game.
Best receiver in the game right now, this year.
Absolutely.
He's playing, he has the numbers for it.
Absolutely. The numbers back it up. And Jason McCourty did an excellent job in controlling. Obviously, Thielen broke away in the end zone to get that touchdown reception from Cousins. But other than that,
it was a collective effort, though.
It was a solid effort from the secondary. And this is what you want to see. Obviously, the Patriots have had games where they've played against, you know, offenses who don't have the weapons similar to the Minnesota Vikings, and the Patriots' defense and secondary is up and down. This is one of the games I've been talking about a long time where let the Patriots' defense come out and play solid against a solid offensive team. Kirk Cousins, obviously, he's no Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Brady, but he's a good quarterback in the NFL, and he has the weapons to go along with him. And the Patriots' defense did a lot. To say that you held the Minnesota Vikings to 10 points, that's a very impressive feat. So definitely kudos. Like you said, a collective effort. Definitely kudos to them for sure.
Another kudos, J.C. Jackson. I know I see you guys talking about him as well. J.C. Jackson is a guy, you know, coming into training camp, I had my eyes on. We saw that the Patriots really liked him, and he doesn't get much playing time. But when he's out there, Mike, whether he's getting penalties called on or not, he has a nose for the ball. He's always making a play on the ball, man. And, you know, there were some plays this game where there were kind of controversial calls. They could have went either way if it was pass interference or not. But he plays hard. He kind of reminds me of Malcolm Butler a little bit where he's scrappy.
Yeah.
You know, scrappy. He's always fighting for the ball, you know, making plays out there. Somehow he's making plays. It could be good or negative at times, but this game was positive, you know, and this is on Adam Thielen that we were talking about in the red zone. Kirk Cousins was targeting J.C. Jackson constantly, and J.C. Jackson came out the better of it. So this is another game where, you know, it might not seem like much, but it could give him confidence. It could give J.C. Jackson confidence going forward. I know I keep bringing up Malcolm Butler, but it reminds me of Malcolm Butler's rookie year, when they put him on Emmanuel Sanders against the Broncos early in the season. And Malcolm Butler made some plays. We didn't see him much, but he made some plays, and that gave him confidence going forward. And then we all saw what happened into the Super Bowl. So little things like this, you know, stopping Adam Thielen twice in the end zone could really be big for the Patriots moving down the line. Just keep in mind.
Shout out to Clifton, who's saying if the defense continues to play like they did today, nobody's beating this team. And, I mean, obviously – that's a huge statement, but again, if you can hold the Minnesota Vikings team in offense to 10 points, you know, you can play well against any team in the NFL if you can have a performance like this. You know, we're talking a lot about offense and defense, and yes, it's not the time yet for stars of the game, But I got to shout out James Devlin. We were talking about it during the show.
When you're going to think of James Devlin at the end of his career, what this is going to be a game you bring up.
This is going to be a game that you bring up. This is probably going to be his most memorable season because this is the season right here that he's had the most involvement, I think, since he's been in the league. I was looking at stats earlier, and he has already, you know, passed his career high in targets and receptions as well. Tom Brady, you know, there's been a lot of games where Tom Brady passes the ball to Devlin, and sometimes we look at each other watching the game, and some of you probably do the same. You're saying, why is Brady going to Devlin? Obviously, sometimes there's a reception right. and whatnot, but you're like, there's different options over there. Devlin, he's the best option. But he's been solid. And then today, you know, for the first time, he gets some carries. He's punching it into the end zone. And then on top of that, we always commend James Devlin on the job that he does with his blocking. All around, he is a very vital part to this offense. Obviously, he's not the big name guy like Gronk or Edelman or Sony Michel or James White. But Devlin has been a very productive, solid rock for this offense throughout the whole course of the season. I definitely have to shout him out, and especially the game that he had today. He was a vital reason as to why the Patriots put up the amount of points they did. You know, very impressive. Very happy to see James Devlin doing what he does. This guy's a Pro Bowler, Mark.
Right. Hey, he's been in the Pro Bowl, and these are the reasons why he's been in the Pro Bowl, everything that you mentioned. But now, Mike, you know, like you mentioned, now he's getting more carries, yep. right? He's getting more passes. So when defenses see James Devlin in the goal line, they have to prepare for that.
You got to be ready.
You have to be ready for that. And now Josh McDaniel can find ways to scheme against it. You can start doing bootlegs. You can start doing different types of plays with James Devlin inside because the defense has to account for that and, you know, stack up on the box because Devlin can go in and punch it in. Or, you know, Brady, he's so successful in those short yardage. You know, Sony Michel, he's been doing great in short yardage positions. So now you have 3-4 guys now in goal lines where you have to prepare for. Before James Devlin's there, you know he's only there for blocking.
Yep.
Now he's getting carries and scoring. This offense, you know, little by little is adding pieces. Another guy, since we're back on offense, that I want to bring up, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Going up against his old team.
Going up against his own team, man. He had this one rush only for 6 yards, but that one run that he knocked some boy down, man. He has something to say about it, too. Cordarrelle Patterson, we've seen, but that's a big boy.
Sure is.
He only had 2 receptions for 53 yards, but those are 2 big receptions. Cordarrelle, that's what he does. He's been doing it week by week by week. You can say he's one of the most consistent players on this Patriots offense.
And the thing with him as well, you know, similar to guys that have come through the Patriots organization over the years, they've asked him to do a lot of different jobs.
Right.
Kick return, punt return, running back, wide receiver. He's taken on a lot of different hats. Over the course of his time in his first year with the Patriots. And obviously, is he a top receiver on the team or in the league? No. Is he a top running back on the team or in the league? No. His kick return skills are obviously still there. He has the speed. He's a big guy. But he's doing a hell of a job with whatever they ask of him. You know, Belichick can turn to Cordarrelle Patterson and practice like, look, we're going to need you to carry the ball sometimes this game. And he's always ready and willing to do that. And he's done a solid job filling in those couple of games where they didn't have Sony Michel. They turned to Cordarrelle Patterson. And he's done a great job.
Yeah. And he loves that.
Absolutely.
You know, he loves to be utilized as many ways as possible. He's been in Minnesota. He's been in Oakland where they just didn't know how to use him right. And so now Patterson, you know, he's stepping up. Big plays, that one throw down the field where he juggled it, you know. Early in the year, Mike, you and me watched the game. We were like, oh, man, you know, that's going to be a drop. Yeah. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson, he just has that stigma. But he's been proving himself to us that this guy is reliable. He's not the great route runner. But, you know, when Brady sees him open, he's going to throw to him. And he trusts he's going to make a play. And he has. It's rarely you've seen Cordarrelle Patterson not be successful in these plays.
Very true, man. You know, the more I think about it, I'm seeing a lot of the comments. And it's making me think about it more. A lot of the comments are coming in. And the more I think about...
Oh, these comments are hilarious.
The more I think about this Patriots team and how they play. And today was a big win. You know, regardless of the score, whatnot, the win is a win. And it's huge. And I'm starting to really believe, obviously, this Patriots, when you look at them, they're not the high and mighty, powerful New Orleans Saints or the Los Angeles Rams or the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not breaking yardage. They're not throwing several touchdowns a game. They grind out their wins. They kind of grind out their wins. Right. Tom Brady's not, you know, on pace to throw 40 touchdown passes or anything crazy like that. But they're just grinding, excuse me, through their victories. And the way they're winning games, you know, they're a Super Bowl threat to whoever they face. Because I feel like they have a way of just making an opponent grind through a matchup, grind through a game, playing the full four quarters. It's going to be a grind. And I honestly feel like if they were to meet up again with the Kansas City Chiefs or the Saints or the Rams, if it's in the Super Bowl.
Force them to play at your pace.
Force them to play at your pace, right, and have them grind through it. Similar mentality to one of your favorite teams in the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
They've always been known as the grind team. You know, I read something recently that the Memphis Grizzlies want to drag teams through the right. mud and have them play through their pace. I see that the Patriots have that same similar mentality in terms of what they do on the field, in terms of offense and defense. And it can lead to wins. Definitely. It can lead to wins.
They definitely want to slow. I love how you brought that up, but that shows how versatile this defense is. Patriots want to play a game like this, right?
Yep.
24-10, control the clock, run it with Sony, get the ball to Gronk and Gordon when need be. But we saw in the Kansas City game when they didn't have control of the game,
mm-hmm.
they were playing at Kansas City's pace. They were still able to put up
points. Sure. It's possible.
They're still versatile enough with Gordon, with James White. Those are your major playmakers. Edelman as well. You saw Edelman get loose a couple of times in the backfield. So they're still able to put up, you know, many points if need be, but they prefer a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
Control the pace, get the defense off the field, let Brady work. Let Brady work with James White, Sony Michel. And we just did a segment last week on who's more important to this team. Sony Michel or Rob Gronkowski, obviously, you know, they're both important.
Exactly.
This is the 1 year, Mike, that if you lose any of these pieces, you're in trouble. You've been to the Super Bowl without Edelman. You've made it to the Super Bowl without Gronk, without Deion Lewis. There's been times you made it without your key guys. I don't think you have the liability to do that this year. This year, it'd be very tough, especially what the competition is looking like. So, Sony Michel, Rob Gronkowski, those guys are great. But Sony Michel, he's brought in a different spice to this team. You know, when you can really give him the ball on first down and you know it's positive yardage, you know it's going to go 4 or 5 yards. And that's opened up the game so much for this offense.
Very true, man. Very true. And, you know, again, solid win by the Patriots today, 24-10 over the Minnesota Vikings. But let's take a look at the next couple of matchups coming up. You know, next week they will be taking on, the Miami Dolphins in Miami, a game that we've said numerous times on the show could be sort of a trap game, because going down to Miami, it always seems to be that game that the Patriots sometimes struggle with when it comes to facing that divisional opponent. You know, after Miami, the next toughest game that we probably think on the schedule is Pittsburgh. You know, obviously the Patriots have had their way with Pittsburgh. At Pittsburgh, yep. They've had their way with Pittsburgh over the last couple of seasons, whether regular season or playoffs. And then Buffalo and Jets. The Patriots can be in a solid, solid position to easily be number one or number two seed.
Number two seed is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
It's theirs if they win out, right? You guarantee a bye in the first game at Gillette. If you win out, you got to take care of Miami. Miami's the lesser team. Going over there, something funny always happens. It's usually self-inflicted.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually the Patriots that go down there and they just have a game plan that's totally bizarre.
Like that 1 year where they wanted
Steven Jackson game.
Yeah.
Or there's times where you remember Matthew Slater in overtime didn't call heads or didn't, I forget what it was. He didn't want to receive the ball in overtime. There's been times where things just are off at the end of the year when you want a secure position. This year, though, the only difference is this year, this is actually a top dog. You have Kansas City out there that has the secured number one spot. They have some tough games coming up. I know they face the Chargers. I know they face the Seahawks. But you just need to win out.
Very true.
And Miami is the first game. You take care of Miami in the heat. We know it's going to be a tough game. And then Pittsburgh, obviously, that's the big showdown. That way, You establish yourselves, and look at this Patriots defense. Look what they've done. This is a lot of you stop a Thielen Diggs combo, you know, with reliable running backs and Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray. Bring that into Miami. Bring that into Pittsburgh. Is Pittsburgh's offense that much better than Minnesota Vikings' offense?
If you said Thielen and Diggs are probably the second best combination. Now you're going up against the first combination, Brown and Schuster.
I think that's the best one, Brown and Schuster. Those are the top ones. But are they that much better than Thielen and Diggs? No. And you can make an argument that Thielen and Diggs is better, whatever the case may be. But this was a great test. I think Big Ben is better than Kirk Cousins. I honestly don't think Kirk Cousins is that good. But, you know, this is a team that you're very familiar with as well, and they're very familiar with you. So this is another game where you can – drag it down, like you were saying, have it grind out, and you have experience with that, where you should be able to win, even though it's away. And that's the only scary part, because this team hasn't gotten together away.
Very true. And I'm looking at what our guy Dreamville for Life just said. Kansas City took a major hit losing Kareem Hunt. And I mean, now you have teams who they have to game plan and stopping not only Tyreek Hill and Kelsey, but they have to game plan and stopping Kareem Hunt. Now you take Kareem Hunt out the picture. Now your focus can really somewhat be mainly trying to stop
the passing
game. Right. And you look at Kansas City's schedule coming up. It's not going to be easy for them against Baltimore. Obviously, it's home, so that gives them a little advantage in Arrowhead. Los Angeles Chargers, my team right there, that I feel like they're on the up and coming to be one of the best teams in the AFC. And then you got to hit the road to take on Seattle. Like you said, it's not an easy road for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Patriots are 9-3, Kansas City's 10-2. It's one game to slip up. If Kansas City slips up, Patriots already got the tiebreaker and beating them earlier in the season.
And man, if they slip up, that would be huge. Imagine the road going to Gillette with this team.
Yep.
You know, It's funny how things will play out.
It really is.
It's going to be real. And I can't wait for next week's game, because it is an away game. How the Patriots tackle this game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very important to see how they go about it. Another positive about this game as well, Mike, healthy. Your team is looking real healthy so far going down. We're not trying to jinx nothing, but the team is looking real healthy going forward right now. And that's important. You bring back Rex Burkhead. He's another playmaker, Mike, that you give him the open field, he can make some moves and make some guys miss as well. So, yep. Patriots are trending upwards right now.
Moving up in the power rankings for sure. I'm also seeing the comments with the stars and sorries flowing in. Continue to bring them in, the stars and sorries that you have from this game. But without further ado, we'll get right into the stars of the game. And you know, I'm already going to kick it off. Like I said early in the show, I'm going to bring his name right back up. James Devlin.
Oh, yeah.
James Devlin.
Definitely a star.
Solid game from him. You know, probably one of his best games in a Patriots uniform. But 4 carries, 5 yards. But what matters, those 2 touchdowns. Those 2 touchdowns were huge. He even had a reception for 9 yards. He's not, again, like I said, a big name target offensive weapon on this team. But when his number has been called upon, he's been able to produce. So I got to definitely give James Devlin a star of the game. Solid performance from him.
God loves James White so much, he wanted to sneak James White in there. But this is the Devlin game. You know, it's going to be marked down as that. I got to give it to J.C. Jackson. I love what the young guy was doing. Big task against Adam Thielen, you know. Adam Thielen, you know, he tried to come at Big Bill Belichick earlier. I know you guys were commenting that as well. And Belichick gave him the John Cena move, the STFU. So, and after that, they was locking Thielen up. You know, Kirk was throwing it to him, and Thielen had nowhere to run each time he caught the ball. So Belichick said, "Yeah, slow down, young buck."
Mm-hmm.
So J.C. Jackson, definitely a star. You can give it out to, you know, Jason McCourty, like you were saying. Absolutely. He had a great game. Gilmore, guy we didn't speak about. It's great when you don't speak about Gilmore, because you know he is doing
something.
He's doing his job. Yep. He's been amazing, amazing this year. Gilmore, you know, the whole secondary, but I'm going to give it to J.C. Jackson, especially for the star of the game.
Any other stars that we're missing, please send them our way. I know our guy Dreamville said the whole secondary definitely deserves a star of the game. And yeah, they did a solid job in my opinion. So I definitely want to give them a shout out as well. Moving from the stars though, we can definitely get into the sorries of the game. Clifton Brown came in. And this is probably the biggest sorry of them all. Obviously, it's not from this game, but he did mention it, so I will bring it out.
Those are sorries. Those are sorries.
Kareem Hunt, top sorry. Top sorry from the show, absolutely. What a way to just, because I don't want to say his career's over. Because, you know, maybe a team
He's been six games.
A team might take a chance on him again. And, you know, I'm all for giving him another chance. I wouldn't say ban him from the league. But obviously, you need to pay whatever suspension or penalties that come along with what he did. But obviously, unacceptable performance situation, whatever you want to call it, from him. And that's definitely a big fat sorry.
I don't want to talk about it too much. It's something that should never happen in the league, in the life, in general. Period. You know, Kareem Hunt. It's very disappointing to see, you know.
Bright young career, young athlete,
especially for me, seeing young black athletes continue to make mistakes like this. So, you know, Kareem Hunt, he apologized. We'll see where he goes from here, you know. But that's a huge sorry.
Sorry. Any other sorries from this game?
He also mentioned Mike McCarthy. For those who don't know.
Yes. Talk about it.
For those who don't know, Mike McCarthy got the boot after the Green Bay Packers lost.
He got into the locker room and he got summoned. He got summoned to the principal's office.
Right.
The owner, the president, whoever was in their locker room waiting for him. Because the way that happened, they didn't wait till he got back to Green Bay. You couldn't wait till the season was over. Obviously, you weren't making the playoffs. You couldn't have a formal meeting, end-of-the-year meeting. You just had to cut him after this loss. It didn't go down too well over there, I'm assuming.
No, man. Mike McCarthy, you know, this is a guy who – he's a big-name coach.
Yeah.
He's going to bounce back. He'll get another coaching opportunity. But I don't think Mike McCarthy's the only problem on that team. But hopefully they figure it out. So, Mike McCarthy, you know, you get the sidebar as well of a – Sorry. But to this game, Mike, to this game.
Yes.
There was some bad, there was some ugly. Who are you giving out the sorry to?
Oh, from this game, I'd have to say a guy who can definitely get a sorry. Dan Bailey.
Mm.
You know, Dan Bailey had been a solid kicker throughout his career. But then he's with the Cowboys, and now he's with the Minnesota Vikings. But they say he has been struggling.
He sucks. Dropped him in my fantasy.
He's been struggling. And even in this game early on, he had a chance to put some points on the board. Hey, maybe it could have been 24-13. Who knows? But with that opportunity, he missed a kick. And he's been missing kicks a lot lately. And obviously, Minnesota Vikings are still, you know, have a decent record, 5-6-5-1. But he's not helping the cause in any way, shape, or form, missing these kicks. He might be out of a job come next season because the Minnesota Vikings don't want his services if he's going to continue to perform like that. So for me, I definitely want to give Dan Bailey a
sorry. And, you know, I'm going to continue on the Vikings. I don't know if this sorry goes to the management. I don't know if this story goes to Kirk Cousins. I don't know if it goes to the whole organization, but it's going to go down for the situation, Rich. Last year, Minnesota Vikings were the top of the top, cream of the crop.
Yeah.
You know, 13-3 record. This is a team you said they're just missing that one thing. But what was that one thing they were missing, Mike? It was a quarterback.
They needed a quarterback.
Case Keenum, even though he had a Pro Bowl year, they said no.
Not the answer.
He's not the answer. So they went, you know, they called up Washington. They gave Kirk Cousins buku money. Buku. Ooh. You know what buku means? It means a lot of moolah. Not only that, they started giving guaranteed. This is yours forever, no matter what happens. Mike, I'm looking at their record now. Minnesota Vikings are 6-5-1. They're no longer big bro. They're little bro, and they're just clinging on. They are just clinging on to making the playoff. And Kirk Cousins is not the answer. You know, you look at this game, you're facing Tom Brady, you know, you have to play well. 32-44, 200 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. That's a bad game. It's not going to do it.
He has weapons.
The man has weapons.
Thielen.
Diggs.
Rudolph. And then Cook. You can even get the ball to Cook.
Yeah. The guy has weapons, but the guy just not that good. No. And even when they signed Kirk to that big contract, it's like, I guess I get it.
He didn't have any
like,
other real options.
Right. But it's showing that Kirk Cousins was not the answer. He wasn't the answer tonight. For that, we got to give him a big fat old sorry.
It is what it is. Better luck next offseason, or I don't even know. They're stuck with Kirk Cousins for a while. So, yeah, Minnesota, good luck with that. With that being said, though, you know, again, Patriots next week.
Dolphins.
We'll be taking on the Miami Dolphins.
Hot.
In Miami. Feeling hot, for real. Drake song. 1 o'clock start time. And you know we'll be here as usual holding it down. But during the week, make sure to check out the Patriots Roundtable.
Oh, yeah, man. Spicy topics, man.
Absolutely.
You know, a shout out to Nick, you know, out there as well. You'll see us all throughout the week through Patriots Roundtable. And we got another sorry AFC East. Sorry.
Usually.
As it goes.
Typically, yeah.
As it always goes.
Yeah, man. But, you know, any final words, Mar, before we wrap things up here?
I love this game. This was one of the best games I've seen the Patriots play all year. I know the points won't say just 24, but the way this defense were able to control, you know, Vikings offense, and that's that first drive causing the three and out from the Vikings and going out there marching 80 yards down the field. That was awesome. That was awesome to see. Patriots really got something going. And, you know, going out to Miami, it's a team you should beat. You should blow them out. But that heat, the humidity, weirdness, something goes on over there that's going to have to make us watch. So we'll see. But I loved what I saw from the Patriots. It's my favorite game of the year.
Hey, grind mode. I'm calling it now. Patriots are in grind mode. I think Belichick will have these guys ready to head down to Miami and deal with that heat. He'll find some way to get them ready for that trip to Miami. But with that being said, for Marvin Azan, I am Mike Molyneux. This has been the Patriots post-game show powered by CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for all Boston professional sports. We'll see you guys next week after that Miami game.